Hey, everybody. This was a super fun show. We got some character acting from Nick, which was definitely a trip. But we talk about what's happening in the NFT space, which is mostly a bunch of degen mints that have followed Goblin Town. But we also talk about some of the other stories that are notable in the space. And we hear from some new speakers that have never been on the show before and, you know, did a pretty good job. So as usual, this content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. Hope you enjoy the show.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the NFT Morning Show. It's Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. A lot to talk about today in the NFT world. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Good morning to my wonderful co-host, Nifty Nick. Nick, how you doing?
Hey, P.O., yo, I'm really happy to be here this morning. This is, you know, Biggie is a great way to start off the day. I like how Jesse discussed exploding in your asshole. I think that that's really...
Jesse's from Brooklyn. Classic, he's allowed to say that.
A classic lyric.
I literally came up only there. Because it was Biggie, and I had to represent Brooklyn. That's all. That's the only reason I'm here.
Well, and they were shouting out Bronxville. Somehow stumbled on a... Sorry, Brownsville. My apologies. Brownsville, there was a, well, I'm getting too much into my personal YouTube behavior. This ridiculous channel, which literally goes around and they view just like, it's like hood vlogs. I do not recommend watching this. It's absolute garbage. Someone sent me the link and then I'm watching it and then I'm like, wow, this is fascinating. And they're just giving like a tour of the neighborhood. Anywho,
it sounds like you're really comfortable talking about
it. I was watching the game last night, and man, what a game. You know, the best winner won, and best player, I should say. And, you know, that's just how it goes. Actually, the whole first quarter was a bunch of garbage. And separately, did you see Bill Burr's thing where he was like, the NBA is fake?
No, but that sounds like something he would say.
It's so good. And it was like quite spot on. And it just felt like the entire beginning of that game was like, oh, wait, hold on. Golden State's not hitting real well. We need to call more fouls until they get their momentum going. And then their momentum was going. They're off to the races. We're good. We let them win.
Well, I mean, if the Celtics had won, then they'd be going back to Boston with a 2-0 lead and the NBA's ratings would plummet. So yeah, it's probably rigged. And Draymond Green didn't get thrown out when he should have. It's probably rigged. Easy's a basketball guy. He played D2 college basketball. What's going on, Easy?
I used to shoot a basketball like when I was like 11. I used to just miss that shit. Sometimes I try and play a horse. I'm not very good at it. So I think that qualifies me as well.
Please keep eating your breakfast and let Easy talk, sir.
Sorry, that was an egg.
I'm mainly reaching out to make sure Nick is mentally okay after his spaces last night. He put on a performance art piece and forgot to record it, but I was tempted to call the local authorities and make sure my friend was okay following it.
Nick did a space last night?
Here's the funny thing for all of y'all that are in the room. P.O. basically doesn't follow me. So I get alerts for every tweet that P.O. posts, but he has no idea what I'm posting on my Twitter account. That's how close we are, and yeah, I really appreciate that, Pia.
Well, Lord,
give me the confidence of Nick O'Neill on a Nick at Night. It was insane.
Dude was talking about bears insane. And doodles and making up this full world. I'm sold. If it was a television show, I'd watch it. I was impressed. I was worried, scared, nervous, but also mildly proud.
I'm always
there's definitely going to be more of them. I'll tell you that much. P.O., here's a little sample.
Live from the Nifty Studios here in downtown Brooklyn. Welcome. A tale
is
old as time.
This is live.
Telling today is it's the tale of the ups and the downs of NFTs. It's been around a tale told for decades, centuries even. My relatives fought in World War II, fighting the battle of the great NFT battle. Many battle wounds were earned from the bullets, the digital bullets, mind you. They were playing play-to-earn gaming. The century was the 19th century. That's when World War I was happening, I believe. Anyways, you want to watch out there, people. And stay tuned.
This is very representative of the spaces. I was going to go up, but I didn't even know what the premise was. I'm like, is it?
It's a claymation
series.
Are we
trolling somebody?
It's claymation. It's all claymation. It's like that old Christmas style with Rudolph, but instead it's Nick O'Neill's ape.
I was just making it up. I have no idea. I was watching the game and I started talking to myself. And I realized, well,
was
that a recording?
20 minutes alone.
Well, like, were you just playing? Yeah, were you just playing a recording or were you just doing that live right now?
That music?
No, like that whole bit right there. Did you play that music and then just start speaking over it now, or was that a recording?
No, I just made that up.
Well, I'm just incredibly impressed that just, you know, at the drop of a hat, you can go into that ridiculous character and throw this stuff down. I said to Easy on Saturday that you're talented enough to actually be like in a show. So we got to harness that. I love how you didn't text me for the space, which means no, it was about Nick just, you know, letting it rip, which is fine.
No, I was just feeling the vibe. But more importantly, I shouldn't have to text you. I tweeted it out. You should have the notification peeled. We don't need to say anything else about that. The fact that you don't have notifications on for your business partners is absolutely ludicrous, because I turn it on for all of them.
I don't have notifications on for the Twitter app. Like, I can't. I would
no. You just follow. So when you load the app, you get a notification.
I get it. I was watching the game. But dude,
I hear a lot of excuses. Anyways, we'll move on from this.
You got to record those though, so I can actually enjoy them after.
Well, I intended to, and I forgot to last night.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways
you missed the tale of.
Were you just on stage by yourself, or did you let
bear.
Him
solo, completely
of,
by himself?
Of the bear. It was a bear at NFT.NYC. You missed it.
What was the peak concurrent viewership?
40,000 people in the audience there, P.O.
How many people were really there? I'm curious.
It doesn't matter, dude. It was just a spontaneous thing. I stopped it after 15 minutes because I didn't
183.
That's pretty good. For a one-man show during NBA Finals?
Who's counting? I think it was more like 200, though. Okay, no, Jesus.
Yeah, no, you asshole. It was a performance art.
No, just cracked the code on how to get the real answer is just do a low-ball estimate, and Nick will chime in and be like, actually, it was 211. Trust me, I know numbers. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what a morning. We're fucking rocking and rolling. Nick gave us a little live performance art right there. It sounded like a recording, but we have the smartest person in the room, the lovely Signal, ready to rock with our weather report. What's going on, Sig?
Good morning. Morning, folks. There will be no performance storytelling from me, just the weather, plain and simple. So today, Monday, the 6th of June, we have a volume at 41 million. You've got open sea at 33 and looks rare at 8. On the blue chips, you've got apes at 94, mutants at 19 and punks at 47. Over the weekend, lots of action. Overnight, Goblin Town with the highest volume in sales. They did more than 5 million plus. That floor is at almost 6 ETH. After the companion drop, McGoblin was airdropped. That is now at 1.3 ETH. Murakami Flowers announced an airdrop for holders, but there will be no airdrop for unrevealed seeds. That flowers volume has pumped and is now at 5.15 ETH. And We're All Gonna Die is following a similar trend to Goblins. There seems to be open performance happening everywhere now on Twitter. That pumped hard over the weekend, almost up to 2 ETH, but now retraced down to 0.6. And if you were listening on Friday, one of the speakers, Stam Dot, gave alpha on Gents Croquet Club when it was at 5 ETH. That floor was pumped hard and the last sale is at 13 ETH. So thank you, Stam Dot. Onto the markets, we saw ETH hitting 1700s over the weekend, now back up to 1900, whilst BTC continues to range in this sort of 30K range. And if you combine OpenSea and LuxRare volume, it's been pretty flat since mid-May. I was looking at it, kind of reminds me when I did stand-up paddleboarding, just flat on the volume. And we're still in this free low-cost mint phase. You can see the liquidity is on the sidelines, either waiting for volume to come back or for some discount on blue chips. So for now, the 24-hour forecast is overcast with sunny spells of degen mints. Back to you, folks.
Fantastic weather report, Signal. Go ahead, Nick. Go.
Well, I was just going to say, if you missed it out, or you missed it out, that's not even it. You missed out, P.O., last night because you missed the goblin. And he has
an alternative voice to the regular goblins that usually exist. You know, he got ostracized from the rest of the goblin family. And so it's quite a situation that he's been dealing with. But he was hanging out at NFT NYC and was kind of standing outside yelling to people to watch out for the bear that was walking around and literally chopping off heads inside of the building.
Well, I love a good Nick
but
character.
But he was really happy with his floor price.
Oh, well, that is true. I'm sucking eggs this morning because of my prediction that the goblin and the airdrop was going to be less than 7 ETH. It's proudly sitting there at 7.3, so I can go kick rocks on that prediction. I was totally wrong, but we'll see if it can hold that 7.3 ETH combination. Nick, I want more characters from you. These characters are absolutely hilarious. You're built for this shit, man. I hope you keep it going. Captain Kicks, long time no speak. You know, you go out of town, you're on West Coast time, and you experience how hard it is to wake up early enough for this show as a West Coaster. So shout out to all the West Coasters in the crowd right now that are up early enough to listen to the show. Captain Kicks was not all week last week. What's going on, Kicks?
What's up? I finally got myself back to East Coast time. I just ate and drank until I knew I'd sleep for 11 hours last night. Woke up feeling like I was in an alternate universe already. Then hopped on to this show and further confirmation that I'm in an alternate universe with Nick just going full Jamaican on me with just some free flow.
Jamaican. The Jamaican was not involved in there at all. I'm going to be honest.
What was the original accent?
It was more of an old timey news.
I was confused if there was a foreign accent in there.
There was a Jamaican flair, right, Jesse?
No,
all my voices all clearly merged together.
And then the third thing that really confirmed it was just logging onto OpenSea and just looking at all the top projects. Good to see Bored Ape Yacht Club in the top 10, because when I checked yesterday, there wasn't a single project I've ever heard of before in the top 10 of volume. It was just just great new blue chip names like Shit Beast, FTC Official. Of course, crowd favorite, Ill Poop It NFT.
And then, I owned one of that. I bought it at 0.02. Sold it at 0.2.
There we go, dude. There we go. And then, also, Halo Official, which I wonder if it has anything to do with actual Halo. But, wild times in the markets. Happy to be back in the swing of things.
Hell yeah. And have you haven't participated in the market at all. You've been sitting on your hands, correct?
Yeah, I just didn't want to make many trades when I was when I was away from the computer most of the time. And a lot of these things that are going up seem to be super, super degen. A bunch of people in the Discord tried to get me to buy We Are All Gonna Die at 1.45. They were like, this is the next Bored Ape Yacht Club. At least short term, I'm glad I didn't now that it's down to 0.6. But we'll see. Yeah, I'm mostly sitting on my hands. The only thing that I would play would be like one of these degen mints because it doesn't seem like anything else is really moving.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. I don't know about this Shit Beast project, so we'll have to talk about that. It looks like the number one project on OpenSea from a volume perspective today is Great Goats on Solana. And what a, what an opportunity to talk about that since we have Easy Eats on stage. Easy, what are your thoughts on Great Goats?
Dude, that project sucks.
Really?
Like, garbage. We did two spaces live with them. I felt kind of bad because the guy was clearly like not a public speaker by any means. And there was like 300 people in the space just asking questions about the project. And the big thing that got a lot of people upset was 2 weeks before they minted, or not even 2 weeks, like a week, they raised the supply from 10K to 11111. So increased it like another 1,000 or 111. And then also bumped the mint price up a sol and a half. That was like a huge distaste for a lot of people. But then what was even wilder was like we were on the space badgering and questioning the hell out of this guy for like an hour, and they were doing very, very bad. And right at the end of the space, I was like, well, thanks for coming up. How about you just give us all whitelist, even though they already over allocated previously, and that's why they increased the supply. And then the guy gave all the speakers whitelist. So I minted it, sold it immediately because I'm just like, this is horrible management of a project. And I'm shocked it's actually doing as well as it is. There's that predictive market I've been talking about a bunch, and there was so much money on the under 8 SOL floor price that it ended up holding like 13. It's now down to 6.3 post-reveal. This was one of those like hype projects that did a pre- and post-reveal for SOL, which is like not very common. We're seeing it a lot more now, especially with like mid-minting listings and stuff. So it is starting to shift, but this is a project that like if someone came to me and said, hey, I just bought 30 great goats, I'd probably just send them like a donation link and tell them that that's a better use of their money, because I think these are going to zero.
Wow. And for people that don't know, when you and the Solana gang start asking questions of project owners, you guys ask some hard-hitting questions. Like I've witnessed.
Yeah, there's no softballs. It's like
there are no softballs. And you know, so when you look at this one, it's got a 6.25 SOL floor. Do you think that there's any staying power on this, or you think this is out of the top 10 by tomorrow?
It'll be out of the top 10 by tomorrow. There's another hype mint today called Vandal City on Solana that's minting. Their team has done like 50 plus Twitter spaces answering every question, and have actually done a very good job. So that's one that I think is going to be a little bit better of a trade. This Great Goats team actually hired a Solana name, like a pretty relatively big name in the space, to do spaces for them. Like basically hired a PR person that was not on the team until after that Twitter space they had where the guy was just like giving away whitelists. So they clearly knew that they messed up. There was a lot of shit talking on Solana timeline yesterday, back and forth between people who were bearish versus bullish on the goats. If you look at these, their nose on the goats looks like a certain male appendage, I guess you could say. And there's a GIF going around of that. So, I mean, there's just FUD everywhere. And there's just not enough hype. There's no actual value. They are one of those branding plays, which everyone seems to be now on Solana. And I think the only one that's going to survive that is the Bears, because they just have first movers advantage. So like, I think this ends up trading sub-3, which was mint price.
Okay, so a 50% correction from here. And you mentioned, you kind of offhandedly mentioned the product that's been released for Solana. I don't know if it's an NFT project or how it works, but it's something that you can use to actually short or long NFTs. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it's a project called Cubus Collective. I'm trying not to shill it a lot because I do hold like 20 of them. I'm just super bullish on this because it's been something I've been looking for forever. But it's not too much like shorting or longing. It's actually a predictive market. So what that means is you need an actual human. There's no market maker. You need a human on the other side to give you odds at some point. Like basically take your – if you go over, they have to take the under. And the way that they do it is there's a centralized pool or a pot, and the more money that's in that gets divvied up to either side. They use their Discord and Twitter and then a couple whitelist marketplaces to figure out like a relative floor, what's like fair value. And then just right on their website, you can use Solana and basically pick if you think it's going to go over or under the floor 1 hour after sellout or 1 hour after public mint. So it's a pretty interesting concept. There's so much interest in it. We're seeing it all over Twitter. There's a play today on there for over or under 5 SOL on Vandal City. I think like 93% of the money is on the over. And yesterday we saw, I think it was 95% of the money on the under, and the over hit, and you were actually making like 3 SOL for every 1 SOL that you put on the over.
So Solana is full on leaning into the gambling side of the NFT space.
It has been forever for sure. And I think it's the fast transactions and low cost. Like I can make a bet for less than a penny. Whereas like if you're using an ETH casino, for example, to send the money to it, you're spending $40. It's also like waiting for gas. If gas is high, you can't. So I think it's very pro gambling, to be honest, which probably not the best thing, but it makes for a lot more fun.
Yeah, Ethereum is not gambling at all. This is just sound investments, sound strategic financial analysis.
Well, think about it though, Nick. Like people on Solana, like what I'm learning as Easy hosts this show and as I get more exposure to the Solana ecosystem, like people that only trade Solana are absolutely appalled by the gas fees on Ethereum, like totally appalled. So if you're going to give them an opportunity to literally bet as low as one penny, so you're playing into gambling, there's no transaction fee, and you're allowing there's no barrier to entry. If you have a penny, you can compete. Then that's going to work. So that's fascinating to see it happen. Jesse just raised his hand. Jesse, what are you thinking about?
Well, I was just to say we're appalled that their system goes down like once a week. So I think it's kind of like a fair challenge one way or the other. No, but it's a trade off. I mean, that's what I don't know if people understand. Like, SOL doesn't have a pricing mechanism. That's why it's so cheap. ETH is literally congestion pricing. Like if you get on the highway you're right, and it's crowded, you have to pay more. Like, the way they do it in other countries, not here. But, you know, the busier it is, the more you have to pay to get on. Seoul, that doesn't happen. And they have a little bit of a centralized feature, which causes it to go down every once in a while. I mean, that's the only reason I'm a little bit skeptical of Seoul as a gaming platform, because gamers are not going to tolerate anything where downtime is part of.
But you got to think here, the games largely won't be on chain. So that won't terribly affect them. It's like the way I've seen it now with a few games is it is certainly centralized, like an account credential, email, password, and then you sync a wallet to it just to confirm an asset exists. The gameplay itself isn't on chain. It's more like the assets and items you get. So even if the chain goes down, that just means there's a delay in getting your item, similar to like if the Xbox Online customer support goes down or Xbox Live goes down. You can't get a fucking skin for a couple hours, God forbid.
I mean, well, I agree, but some gamers are already skeptical, so I'm just wondering, just like, I mean, I can't even imagine someone trying to buy one and it not going through, that being a little bit of an issue. I mean, yeah, it's just like, you know, Facebook was famous for never going down. I mean, your blockchain really can't go down. I mean, it has to act like
a blockchain.
I'm going to do my rare joke in mid-joke, but go ahead.
Kicks, you were going to add something?
I was just going to say, I thought it was funny. I was reading about how they had like some issue on Solana where like the transactions like weren't lining up with like real world time.
Dude, we're still back 4 hours. Like, it's
yeah. Well, and someone said they actually made a transaction. They bought something and then they sold it because of how the timing messed up, it said that they sold it in the past before they bought it. And they were like, I can't wait to like explain to my accountant how I sold something before I bought it. But it's a newer chain. It's going to have, you know, ups and downs. A lot of people forget that, Ethereum literally had to like, hard fork, its entire, protocol because like, scammers like stole a shit ton of money early in the day. So stuff happens early on in the game. The thing I can't wrap my head around with NFTs, I would love if someone even in the chat could explain this to me, but how has Goblin Town's unique owner count, it's not changed. It's been 4.6K for like 10 days now. If someone can explain that to me, I'll be internally grateful.
I don't want to get into what I think is going on because I'm holding some.
Spill the beans, Nick.
Wash trading.
Spill the beans, Nick.
Yeah, I think there's a large percentage of activity on there, which is manufactured. To me, it's just based on like, check out the wallets that the various NFTs are going to. You know, the problem is doing research in this space is quite difficult, even though everyone's like, oh, it's on the blockchain. Yeah, it's on the blockchain. And there's, when you're doing wide scale fraud, then eventually you can like go and do analysis of it to figure out, you know, identify various patterns or whatever. But for the most part, it's difficult to quickly deduce that. But I was wondering, like, who are the people that are buying these things at the top? And it was like wallets that didn't have anything else in there. But I think that, I don't know, I just get this weird vibe. That's all I can say is that based on just scrolling through all the trades and then clicking through to the wallets that are buying, it just feels weird to me that there's all this volume. But that said, there's a bunch of...
It would really break some people's hearts just to find out that Goblin Town was just this... But this is what goblins would do anyways. They would totally scam humans. I'm not even surprised.
Zesty Cheetos, you have any thoughts on this?
P.O., how are you, man? Good morning, Nick. How's everyone doing?
Oh, doing great, buddy. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Do I have any thoughts on the goblins? Not really, man. I'm just holding three of them right now. I haven't claimed any of my burgers. I personally am still bullish on them. I think that we can see some serious movement if we have some more news come out. Right now it's kind of stable. I don't really see it going anywhere until we see more pieces of the puzzle unfold.
Do you like the fake gossip with like the Beeple and that felt kind of topish to me, that Beeple was like, I'm really behind this.
I think that if they're able to either A, capture the attention of two juggernauts such as Beeple and Yuga, you know, if they're able to get the attention of them, I think they're already doing good. Whether they're behind it or not, they did make a tweet about it. They did kind of like do a mini shill. So that's a good thing in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fascinating to follow the whole trajectory of the Goblins, and now the wide speculation that I think Spencer was the person that surfaced is that they're going to do some sort of pop-up at NFT NYC and perhaps actually run with a brand surrounding the NFT project, which also would lead me to believe that the actual founders of the project have been in the space. They're interested in building long-term. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Spencer, have you been active at all? Have you been sitting on your hands? Like, what did this weekend look like for Spencer? And, you know, have you been deploying capital or just kind of hanging out?
I mean, I think, look, I've got a couple of longish term bets that I've placed. A lot of this weekend was talking people out of buying into We're All Gonna Die. For me, I think I've been paying attention closely to a few projects, because I think what I've noticed recently is that news isn't moving markets as much. So you really have to pay attention, because it used to be you could just wait till something pumped and you're like, oh, what happened? But now, for example, like I was paying a lot of attention to Wenu Labs, or 10KTF rather. They released a trailer, which I thought had really good animation. They also are building more lore into it. I'm curious with Goblin Town. I think Andrew Wang had a really interesting sort of tweet thread. Just talking to him about before he posted like 2 days ago about the idea of like high context versus low context, and how story crafting and communities are being built. And I think everyone should go check that out. But really, right now, I'm just kind of bearish on the market post NFT NYC. I think we've seen a lot of big dumps happen while people are at conferences. And I have some concerns that a lot of people I've talked to recently are waiting for NFT NYC to sort of hopefully find exit liquidity from pumps that might happen from people having great projects. I mean, people are spending a lot of money on events at NFT NYC. But when everyone's waiting for the same event to dump their bags, it really raises some flags for me. So I don't know how our market goes. The macros are still in the shitter. Like, it looks like things will be bad. And while there are people making money on degen mints, I would just caution that the reason we see these huge corrections is in some of them. So like Goblin Town go to 9 and then back to 4, is that as soon as people feel like they should take profits, they try and take profits and there's no exit liquidity. And so there's a lot of paper gains, but I haven't really seen many people making actual money in the last few months, even though there's occasional instances of paper gains. So if you feel like you've missed out on degen mints or these pumps recently, like, don't feel like that means you need to FOMO into the next thing. I think sitting on one's hands right now and having a few bets placed where you really like them, for me, it's just Artifact and 10KTF right now is basically where all my chips are. I think that that's a reasonable strategy today.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I think it's a great trader's market. If you're a strong trader, you've probably printed a lot of money over the past like 10 days. I know Easy's done very well.
I was gonna say, this is my type of market.
Exactly. If I had my trading pants back on, I was traveling, but if I had my trading pants back on, I'd be doing quite well myself. You just have to understand, in this market, this is a PvP kind of trader's market. Which means it's every man for themselves. If someone's, you know, buddy with you, it's because they're setting you up to just get hosed. You got to be getting in and out of these projects really quick. And I mean, you can see it with the numbers. There's basically two winners right now: OpenSea and really good traders. And everyone else is, you know, you're just getting caught in the crossfire. There's really nothing here that I'm buying that I want to be like, oh man, I'm gonna hold this thing for like 2 months. I was trying to think about some parallels to this kind of trading action. It reminded me a little bit of summer of last year. I want to say either like late June or maybe early July. There was a similar kind of traders market. And if people were trading around then, you'll remember there was all of these like old projects, like they're like 2018, like, oh, this project was around in 2018 and everyone pumped it. Cole Theron pumped this project called like AI 42 loops. I don't know if anyone remembers trading those.
Made some money on that, but that was quite an interesting pump.
Yeah, dude, you could like mint these like strings, and you could sell the strings as well. You could claim them. It was wild. But what was interesting is that after all of that kind of settled out, then we had like a huge, you know, NFT pump across the entire markets. Definitely not saying that's the case now. I was just trying to look at the small sample size of NFT history and to see if this kind of trading was like bullish afterwards or like bearish afterwards for the overall markets.
no real clear answer right away. A lot of times when a lot of people are just trading degen mints, and that's the only thing that's going on, sometimes that's been a top signal. But of course, this isn't happening in a bull run, so it can't really be a top signal. I don't really have much like in terms of like, oh, this means like everything's going to rip next or anything like that. I just thought it was interesting that we have had a few periods in NFT land where we've traded these similar kind of degen projects, but no clear read on what happens next.
Yeah, but I think, because a lot of people are reading into this market like, oh, this is just showing that like CCO works or that low. I just think people are cheap right now. And so that's why I think the free NFTs are working. But yeah, I totally agree, Kix. I literally just posted a tweet while you were talking about how the market can be divided into trading and investing, or traders and investor. Trades are all about memes, momentum, like narrative, right? You got to be sitting in front of the computer with your cigarette, like literally ready to pop at any time. And then investing, I mean, in the NFTs, you know, we can like haha all day, but you know, you're trying to value the project, the team, any potential revenue sources, the fundamentals of the project. So like, you know, Carton or Gary V. And I think that's where, if you're not a trader, you know, you probably just want to stay away right now, because you're just gonna, you know, if you don't have a feel for it, like Easy or Kix or some of these people, it's fine to just not trade. And I would look for value. If you think there's things that have dropped in the meantime, while everybody's degenning and there's a good team out there that can pop, you know, once they make an announcement or after New York or something like that, then I think you just need to, you know what you're good at, stay in your lane and be patient.
And Zesty Cheetos, was there something you wanted to add to that?
Yes, absolutely. I definitely agree with Spencer. It's been, you know, the degen meta, all these free mints coming in. I still think there is some more time for us to get a few projects out of here, such as Goblins or Wagdai. There's a lot of interesting things going on. I also wanted to mention, the first time I came on this show, we talked a little bit about Art of Seasons. Art of Seasons was sitting at a 1.2 ETH floor when I came up here, and you talked about it with about 300 listings. There has been absolutely zero news. It's kind of been like a silent assassin in the space. Right now we're sitting at a 1.8 floor with only 234 listed at this time. And again,
I'm seeing 197. I'm seeing even lower.
Maybe my numbers are off here, but it was way more. Point is, now it's way less, and we have had zero people talk about this on Twitter. I made a little thread 2 days ago when it was at 1.5 ETH. I bought an extra 10 of them at 1.4 ETH each. And again, the main point I'm trying to make here is there has been zero news from them, no release details. I feel as if the second that the release details do come out, we're going to see a lot of people scrambling for whitelist. This is a high quality project that I feel like not a lot of people are talking about right now.
There's been 8 sales in the past 21 minutes, and we didn't talk about it on this show either. So people are buying this project. Now that you mentioned it, I'm sure that degens in the audience will be aping in. So you can probably add some more sales to it. But that's really interesting that the listing count is, that's about as low as you're going to get, right? On a 7,200 supply project, it looks like the updated amount is 199 total listings, so sub 200. That's impressive. Node, we haven't heard from you today, amigo. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm still in bed. Been sick all weekend. So congratulations to anyone in the phrase board competition. I'm officially knocked out.
The proof thing?
If you win, you get the proof pass. I have not done a single.
Well, you're competing against a crowdsourced 4,600 person unit.
Yes, I am. Yes. So I'm no longer competing. You guys can count me out. I did want to say one thing I noticed was that I think it was NFT Statistics that tweeted something really interesting, that the top blue chips did 740 ETH in volume yesterday, which is incredibly low. Like, you know, that includes the Bored Ape Yacht Club, Doodles, like Artifact, which I think it's the first time it's been below. I think he said it's been below 1,000 ETH all year. So degen mints up and blue chip activity down is probably not a good sign. But that was just an interesting stat wanted to bring up.
That's a good stat for sure. Spencer has his hand raised. What's going on, bro?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, like there's a good announcement, like XYZ. But the thing that made me really kind of interested and a bit scared about the market right now was, you know, Pixel Vault announced a partnership with WWE and that they're partnering with the studio that did Love, Death, and Robots.
You mean UFC?
UFC, my bad.
Mildly different.
but saw basically no price movement. And so, like, I really don't know what announcement a project could have that's more bullish than those two partnerships. And if those partnerships aren't moving markets, then I don't know what people are expecting would move a market. So that's
the only thing that would move a market would be announcing a partnership with the Federal Reserve and that they were going to resume quantitative easing through the project itself.
That would be a good one for sure. You know, one thing on the Pixel Vault front, right? I know Node has a bunch of Pixel Vault assets. I think that when I talk to people in the market, they're unsure which area of Pixel Vault it makes the most sense to deploy capital into right now. I think that the most obvious would be the Sidekicks, right? But there are a lot of assets in the ecosystem. So I think that over time, what we'll see is some sort of consolidation from Pixel Vault to kind of clear up exactly what is going to be focused on. And probably, I mean, this is pure speculation by me, but I just feel like this is probably the easiest way to do it, is some sort of burn or redeem mechanic to, you know, take the planets and redeem them for something else, just to consolidate a little bit and make it clearer on, you know, what the assets are that are going to be focused on moving forward. I don't know if Kix, Node, Spencer, anybody has any input on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing why I think that there wasn't a big pump, they also announced future kind of plans and what's going to happen with MetaHero and POW and Dots and all this stuff. And I've kept up pretty well on all the Pixel Vault stuff up until about now. And now it's starting to get like, okay, now it's even getting complicated for me. So there's just too many things happening where I'm like, I don't even know what to do with all the different stuff that I have with how everything's going to work and how the POW assets are going to work. So I think that's an issue with their ecosystem, which, you know, has been brought up before, but now it's gotten to the point where it's super complex. And so I hope that for their sake, they find a way to consolidate things and make it simpler, which I do know with the Sidekicks, right? There's going to be lots of burning mechanisms and whatnot to help, you know, reduce supply and whatnot. But even still, this is turning into like a full blown, you know, you got to be active and in the game to have it make sense. And so now there's just too many things to spread out. But I wonder, you know, Signal, you might have a much better take on how this all works.
No, when they made the recent announcement about the Dots and the MetaHeroes and the Sidekicks, I echo like exactly what you've just said. I just felt quite fatigued by all of it. And I think the larger issue they're having is that their communication doesn't seem to go beyond the Pixel Vault ecosystem. They just don't seem to be able to attract new people into it. Obviously, by having the partnerships with UFC and having their name out there in terms of sponsorships, and it'll be very visual. So I think the wider world will obviously see Pixel Vault in that context. But I think in terms of the NFT community, I don't see other people being excited by Pixel Vault who don't already hold Pixel Vault. So I think that's some of the challenges they're facing there.
I think with some consolidation, like some serious consolidation, you will get people that are excited again. All it takes is like a one kind of announcement in a better market. I don't think if you do it tomorrow, it's going to work. But I think if you implement some consolidation and we get a better market, you'll be in better shape. Just wanted to add to one thing that Spencer mentioned is Spencer said, don't go like, you know, trying to chase what's going on now. I couldn't agree more, because we talk about this, right, where there's a new trend in the NFT space and, you know, there's 1, 2, 3 projects that hit hard on that trend and people see, oh, you know, so-and-so bought an NFT for 0.02 and it went to 1 ETH. And, you know, then you start chasing that trend. When you start chasing that trend, the trend's already over. So now we saw We Are All Going to Die, which was another free mint that is basically a carbon copy of Goblin Town's roadmap, in the sense that they did the kind of community performance and you know, laid out a free mint for a project, and we saw it pump to north of 1. Now it's down 50% from its top, over 50% from its top. You know, I wouldn't necessarily bet on the third
one, or maybe you got one more. Maybe there's one more that's going to work, but I wouldn't be placing bets on that. I'd be looking for what the next thing is. I think we're already going to be looking for the next thing. I think you can expect it to be something that's either free or cheap, and given the current state of the market. And then one other thing is, Kick said the winners right now were good traders and, or, you know, good short-term traders and OpenSea. The only people I'd add to that is anybody making these degen projects, even if they're just earning royalties on the secondary, because they're making money too. I have to think, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'll post in the Discord, but I have to think that the royalty on We Are All Going to Die is at least 7.5%, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's 10% because it's a free mint.
Well, in a PO, I was doing a little math exercise last night just to think about, because actually like in investing is much, when more of the market of NFT buyers are investors that are going to hold for at least a month, I think that that's way more healthy for the ecosystem than if most of the volume is defined by traders. Because here's the math thing, right? Is that most people take, OpenSea takes 2.5%. Most projects take at least 5, right? If not like a little bit more. So you average the fees, the total fees per trade to like 9%, let's call it. That means that if you're trading $30 million a day, then every day 10% is taken out of the ecosystem, which means that in 30 days, don't you like all of the money taken up in fees? All of the trading volume?
First of all, that was the most confident math live on stage that I've ever heard.
What was the math? 1 + 7 is everything 0.
Dude, that was hilarious. My brain
absolutely using his hands to figure that out in real
time. My brain stopped working halfway through the thing, and I had to like redo it in my head to make sure it makes sense. But yeah, like if you have $30 million of volume and every day 3 million is taken out in fees, it's actually only 10 days to like basically have the equivalent of the daily volume pulled out in fees, which is really interesting to like think about. I really think that on a long-term horizon, these fees have to go down to like credit card fees. They got to go down to where like the royalties and the commission is like 3%.
You're just adding up percentages. I mean, all that it is literally, it doesn't matter what the volume is. If you're always having that take come out in the payback period, well, it's not even a payback period because you're not even lending it, so it doesn't even make sense. I don't know. Anyways, the bottom line is there's fees on the trades. There are projects that are going to like make it free, and I mean marketplaces that'll show up.
Yeah, I agree with Kicks on the marketplace thing 100%. It's going to be a race to the bottom. We already saw this in stocks via Robinhood. Real quick, we'll do a little room reset here. Nick, go ahead.
Well, do you want to do the room reset or what?
I was going to refer to the tweet
pinned to the top. Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we're not doing math on this show, I mean, everyone with an
this engineer, is.
Go ahead, Nick. Fucking go ahead. Jesus.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Everyone with an engineering degree is so offended right now. I apologize on behalf of Kix here. And
engineering?
Just all right, because it was making a little joke about his bad math. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is the NFT Morning Show. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. We are focused on market mechanics, trade talk, trending stories, everything in between in the NFT space. If you have some market discussion you'd like to bring to the stage, be like our pal Zesty Cheetos, who we just met last week and came on stage and just started delivering some hard-hitting analysis and sharing their own experiences about what's going on in the NFT market. We love to hear from people like that. If you look at the top, well, Nick just pinned something else, but the first tweet that's pinned is a link to buy our NFT. If you enjoyed the show, then you have to think that maybe some other people will enjoy the show too in the future, and it might be a good idea to buy our NFT. Wink, wink. Nick, what were you going to add?
You're just like, Nick just pinned something else. That's it. Pinned to the top. If you retweet that tweet, you can get a free logo frame.
I didn't even know we were doing that. Okay, let's go.
Their new NFT. We were just texting about it. I don't understand. So here we are. It's pinned to the top. If you retweet it, you're going to want to retweet and like or whatever. Engage with that tweet. retweets what's going to be tracked. I'm going to be pretty clear here. Then you can get a Lago pass, which entitles you to get a Lago frame whenever those drop.
All right, well, we're doing a giveaway then. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you retweet the Lago frame tweet for a chance to get the Lago NFT that we will be giving away later in the show. Look at that. You listen to the show, we got an impromptu giveaway. You're going to have a dope-ass frame in your house displaying your NFTs that you're underwater on. It's perfect. We got Brian Brigman on stage. I'm going to throw it to him in 1 second. Last but not least, the actual sponsor of this content is FTX. Speaking of marketplaces and the race to the bottom, Sam Bankman-Fried, the CEO, founder of FTX, and the youngest self-made billionaire in the world, has bought 7+%, if I'm not mistaken, 7%.
Of the Nifty portal.
No,
Did I get that wrong?
You got that wrong. They bought 7% of Robinhood. And they have gasless transactions on NFT trades, the lowest fees in the game on crypto trades, very small spreads. And if you buy over $10 of Ethereum, of Bitcoin, of whatever crypto asset you are trying to buy, you will get free crypto. So sign up for FTX with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. If you're a mobile person, they have a great mobile app. Or on the web at thenifty.com/FTX. Shout out to FTX.
If you're a mobile person who has a phone, then you're probably listening to this space.
My
name is Jeff.
You're in, Kix. What's up?
Nothing, man. I'm just trying to find where I lost my brain cells. I'm recovering. I'm good. I feel good.
Your math was really something, man. And ladies and gentlemen, Kix is a bright guy. Kix is a co-founder in the Nifty and also the CEO and co-founder of Crypto Raiders, which is a crypto game. You raise like a bunch of money and funding. You're not a dumb guy, but your math was not on point this morning. I think you need more coffee and you had too much alcohol in Los Angeles last week.
Wow, just putting him on blast. You're like, also I hear that the guy was strung out one night wandering down the street after blowing lines for 18 hours. I mean, just seemed like absolutely, hey, but he's running a startup funded by these investors. And that's exactly what was going on there. So maybe we could make this story even more devastating.
I love to paint a picture for people. I want to give people context so that they understand what's going on. So look,
he's
going
to be like live on the NFT NYC walking behind people. Okay, everybody, we're here following behind Jimmy.eth. Jimmy.eth has had several cocktails at the first party. We've gone to the second party. And
now he's eating his second dessert.
He's drinking more cocktails. He seems pretty drunk. We're a little concerned about the future of his business based on his behavior right here. I would not be investing in it. So that's how we're feeling about this person right now. Let's go and destroy someone else's life real quick.
Well dude, at that lunch that we were at last year with all those heavy hitters, I was one of the only people, it was just me and one other person that got like a glass of red wine at a steakhouse. You know what I mean? It's like, God forbid you have some wine with steak, you know? And people were kind of like looking at me like I had an alcohol problem. I was like, all right, guys, all right, come on now. We're about to have steak. I'm going to have a little red wine. Anyway, Brian,
what if you had steak for breakfast? Would you be drinking red wine?
Probably. Maybe a mimosa or something. Brian was actually at that lunch.
A mimosa with steak? What the hell are you eating for breakfast, Pio?
I don't, margaritas. I don't know. Bloody Mary, something like that. But anyway.
A margarita at breakfast? What the hell are you eating, Pio?
What is wrong with you, Pio?
What, you guys never had brunch before? All right. Anyway, Brian Brickman is on stage, talented artist and skilled art collector.
You eat Chinese food with mimosas, Pio? What the hell is wrong with you?
Come on now. Brian Brickman, thanks for coming on stage, buddy. What is going on in your world?
Hey, guys. Well, first of all, if anybody goes to that Lago article, coincidentally, one of the images below it, it says this piece of art belongs in the collection of Brian Brinkman. So that's a shout out. That's me pumping my bag by making people look at the art I own in my collection.
No surprise, man. You got a great collection. I'm not surprised that everybody's referencing it.
I agree with the sentiment about these free mints, and there's definitely a curve downward. People in the Discord yesterday saw me go crazy over Rebels in Disguise, which is a project I minted back in February, and I've held it, and it has really cool artists involved, including Jarvan Art from Super Rare and Nifty Gateway. But I don't know. Maybe I'll be down bad on that bet because the attention span of the space is crazy. And then I do have a piece of alpha. I want to, you know, it's out there, but I think everyone should look into Dave Krugman's drop coming up in the next week or so. He's a photographer in the space. He's building All Ships, which is a powerful brand for the community. And he's going to be doing a drop that's like a thousand or so photography or photos of water droplets hitting the ground in Times Square. And he's working with like AI to determine rarity based on the amount of droplets. And so it's kind of turn photography into generative art and rarity traits. And there's a lot of different ways you can like get into that project by buying some of Dave's work. So I recommend checking that out because I think that's going to be a strong project.
That's incredibly cool. That's like such an interesting way to play it is like take actual pictures and then use AI to determine rarity, like to scan the picture. And I'm looking at Dave's Twitter right now and looking at the pictures. It's crazy. And there's one where you see the AI identifying all of the droplets. That's really cool. It'll be interesting to see how a fine art project like that performs in this market and just how much like daily volume it has to see how liquid it is. But that's a fantastic project to bring up. Thanks for surfacing that, Brian. Jess, you've had your hand raised for a bit.
Real quick, just to comment on that. I just wanted to add that Brian is really good at identifying real art. But just remember, the best buys right now are pictures of poop. So if you're looking for...
Right, it's true.
For financial opportunities, you're going to want to buy the pictures of the poop. That's the best investment opportunity. Jesse, what's popping?
Yeah, just a couple of the projects that have been coming up. I mean, obviously, we got the, like you said, all these rejects of the goblins, I think, are the one that we could be imagining in 4-6 months. If they have a good team, they are one of the quote-unquote... It's just like, we're chasing the next goblins. There was one called Psychonauts. It's kind of like, looks like an X-copy psychedelic ripoff, right? I'm sure people got in for which one will be the next 0.5 one.
I like how you cut out every other word.
You're cutting out again. I don't know where you're at in your house, but come on now.
How big is your house? I mean, my gosh.
He's got a big house, man. He's an NFT lawyer. It's a big deal. Jesse, you want to give it one more shot?
Sure. How's this?
It's good. You sound like so deflated, man.
Sure. No. How's this now? Am I in the correct spot that you can hear me? Jeez.
Yeah. Okay. I moved to the West Wing. Okay. I think we got better Wi-Fi here. I got an extender. No, but Psychonauts is kind of we're going to die. I mean, I like Social Proof, and you know, we are in fact all going to die. So you know, who knows that about that one? But no, there's a couple that were out there. I mean, I made a decent trade on these floor NFTs. I saw we're going to sell out. There's a floor NFT app. For some people, this is the first app they check in the morning. It went 2x'd overnight, so I made a good trade there, but I can't tell you to go in. But a couple are, there's this one, Fear City, which is an artist who did some of the art for like GTA.
Grand Theft Auto's artist, Stephen Bliss. Yes.
Yeah, but he had to cut from 10,000 to 3,000 or 3,300, whatever, 3,333. And it pumped from like, I think it was a 0.1 mint, maybe a little bit less. It pumped to like 0.17, but now it's back to almost mint price. You know, I think people think FUD at first when they hear you have to go down. But this one I would take a look at. I don't know if I'd recommend it in this current market, but definitely take a look at Fear City. It hasn't – they're it's going to be at least 24, 48 hours. They're trying to do something clever or at least, I think, regain momentum with the reveal. So this is certainly a possible 2Xer. I'm not recommending it, but take a look. And then another utility is Chaos. This is a music NFT by Koopa Troopa, who's the music NFT guys, right? He literally tweets music NFTs. Kind of a pompous dude, but he is the music guy. He's the one. And like, this is like, you get 4 songs in this Chaos NFT. It's 5,000 mint. I think 1,500 have minted out. It's definitely one to take a look at. No hurry. But if you're into the music NFT thing, this one is supposedly you can like unwrap your music and reveal your 4 NFTs or just like keep it pristine. You know, it's got some clever mechanisms. I would say take a look at that one. And other than that, you know, I'm the same way. I'm waiting. I'm not chasing many of these degen mints. I'm not even FOMOing. Like when I see somebody go, you know, when I see poop go to like 0.4, I'm like, good for you guys.
0.9.
I'm just going to chill.
So a couple things. If Stephen Bliss had put out Fear City in January or February, it would have you know, sold out at 10K.
0.5, yeah. Go to 0.5 immediately.
It would have got done 1,000 Ethereum of volume within 2 weeks. The whole thing, he was basically punished for taking his time to make sure that the project was done really well. We gave away a bunch of whitelist spots for that project in our Discord. Shout out to Stephen Bliss. Hope the project does well. The other thing is that the Discord let me know that We Are All Going to Die has a 6.9%. A 6.66% royalty. So 666. So that's called painting the inside of the fence, ladies and gentlemen. That's a nice little touch that they had. I want to go to Easy, who has his hand raised. Easy, what's popping?
There was a DGen mint last night that ended up not minting that I'm a huge fan of. I just like how they look. I want to call it out. It's called Down Bad Polaroids. The story is amazing. The guy went on a date. The contract got exploited. He didn't bring the girl home, so then he released a series of these hand-drawn Polaroids that are just like heartbreak and emotion. And honestly, I think they're just good. Like, looking at them, I'm like, these are just awesome. So I think that's minting today. Something that's just fun. It's D-Gen season. I think they'll do well.
It sounds like that guy's got a sense of humor. That's on Ethereum?
Yeah, it's an ETH play. It's an ETH show. I do a little bit of cross-chain here, P.O. Come on.
Well, I was just asking. You never know. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, Easy hosts his Solana show, Solana Made Easy, which happens Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're interested in Solana, definitely check that show out on Twitter Spaces. So I let Chris B. NFTs on stage. Chris, you are a Spaces host. You do daily spaces. You're also a photographer. You're also the founder of Social Charity NFTs. And you're also telling us to do our own research and buy a ledger. So I'm assuming
is that the description that you're reading his Twitter bio?
I am. And you're telling us to buy a ledger, which means that you're probably sponsored by Ledger. And we're not sponsored by Ledger, so we're not going to talk about Ledger anymore. But Chris B, you've been listening to the show here for about a half hour.
Yeah, we're going to be represented. We're sponsored by paper. If y'all are interested in keeping that security tight, you're going to want to buy paper. Paper is a great way to write down your seed phrase. You're going to need to also get a vault because you don't want to just leave that paper sitting outdoors. So paper plus a vault is exactly what we're looking for. And so we recommend just going on Amazon, buying any random vault, just writing down that seed phrase on paper, tossing that in there and just forgetting that you have it. Make sure that it's one of the secure ones. You're going to want to Google around for good reviews. Back to you, P.O.
Thank you for that sponsorship call out, Nick. Chris B., what's popping?
What's up, guys? Thanks for bringing me up. No, I think I need to bring this attention to you because it's a degen mint and it's 100% community driven right now. They went from zero to 100 and like, I think they're at 102K now in like 3 days. It's Goblin Town Troll Town.
If you just came through and were like, yeah, there's this project called Goblin Town, I was just going to kick you off stage.
No. I stuttered. I stuttered. You guys got me a little flustered. But no, I haven't been in a big room for a while. But no, apparently Troll Town WTF, they haven't done any marketing or anything yet. They haven't spent any of the money they've made off the royalties. And I mean, their floors went from, I got it at 0.15 last night, and it's almost a 0.2. Or not. So it's 0.2. It's almost 0.2 now.
Okay.
And
are you community stuff. Yeah. Are you associated with the team at all?
Not yet, but they have messaged me, which is a good sign when a 100K project replies to you. So.
Mm-hmm. So the reason I ask is because they've been harassing me on Twitter over and over again, saying you have to check out Troll Town, and I've had to mute like 20 different threads because it's been harassment we're talking about it on the show with a new speaker, so that makes me raise an eyebrow.
Please enter, welcome the King Troll himself, the Troll of Trolls.
It's me,
Troll Town.
Arnold, he's here to crush you with his muscles.
Chris, this is an interesting response to Nick's
talking about the angle. Troll Town.
Nick, continue, please. Ignore the Arnold impression that came out of the blue. Now you do an Arnold impression, Nick. No. Or maybe, if you want to do it. Either that or the troll. I like the troll.
No, I'm good. I'm good, P.O.
Okay, Jesus, man. All right, Chris B., stick around. We're gonna keep chatting. Stick around for a second. We're going to rotate back to you. We got Rhiannon Bananen.
Not the Arnold.
What up? I just wanted to come up and offer my condolences because I, too, am terrible at math. So that's where I'm at. And I wanted to say hi. You guys are having such a good time. This is a fun show. I really appreciate it. But don't feel bad. You get flustered on the air. I get flustered on the air. Sometimes we're all bad at math, and that's okay. Make sure to do your own research, though. That's important.
All right. Well, what an intro from Rhiannon. It says that you're a mom.
Thank you for that, Alpha. That was entering the king of knowledge and insight. Rhiannon, thank you for that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'll pump my bags if you guys want, but I just, no, I'm not involved with any project.
No,
so,
no. Yeah, when, for sure. When we start with flattery, it usually ends with the pumping.
That's beautiful. I'm not here to pump anything too hard. Just, you know, it's always really important to offer your moral support. We're all degens out here. So I too am bad at math. Don't feel bad. We all have that moment.
Nick, when you do that character, I picture you like being fanned by leaves and fed grapes.
No, I am announcing the king himself. That was the king troll before, and then we went on to the king of pumping their bags, and then we will move on to a new king.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, reminder to retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top by Lago Frames for a chance to get a free NFT that represents ownership of a Lago frame, and my assumption is you'll be able to redeem that for an actual Lago frame. That would make sense because it is a physical object and there's no benefit to having an NFT of that unless you just are investing in frames long term and you need someone else to custody them. So retweet that tweet. You'll be able to redeem it for a physical frame. There you go. Let's continue the market talk. We've got a little off the rails here. I am going to let some more speakers on stage and figure out what everyone's doing in the market. But I'd love to know, you know, someone like Node, someone like Spencer, you know, what is the angle right now? Is it waiting for another 30% correction to the downside? Are we just wrong in thinking that that's going to happen? I was talking to a friend of mine and he was saying, you know, what could be the macro news that would send us down another 30%? And he had some ideas, but how likely they are to come into play, I don't know. Spencer, you got your hand raised. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think it's – I mean, maybe there's some big news, like, who knows, right? But I think the more likely case right now is just that there's no news for the next, like, 6 to 18 months. And, you know, forward guidance from the Fed, like, they've already said they're going to keep raising interest rates, right? And so the bull case is that one day they wake up and they're like, oh, my goodness, the markets are crashing and we're just not going to do that. But, like, they knew the markets were going to crash, right? Like, none of this is – like, all of this was sort of programmed in. And so the question is, like, do you think we're going to – reach an inflection point where we start going up for a sustained period of time? And that's where I see really hard, like, short of literally the Fed being like, we're going to not keep raising interest rates. I don't know what could move the markets up because, like, that's the thing that's pushing them down, right? And so, you know, while there is the opportunity to flip here and there, like, I think this is a period of time where you might look, like, you want to look on a longer time horizon, right? There's great opportunity to accumulate projects in the next 6 to 18 months that when and if there is another bull run might rip really hard, but, like, it's going to be impossible to exactly time the bottom, right? So necessarily that means that over this period of time, if you're using the strategy that I'm describing, like, you're going to buy stuff and it's going to go down for a unit of time. The question is, when it recovers, will it recover significantly over your entry price? Or is this still close enough to the top? Like, I'm not confident that ETH will hold above 1200 in the next 6 to 18 months. It could, it couldn't. I mean, it's the market. Like, the market should have everything priced in, but, like, there's just a lot of bad news that we know is coming, and I don't know. What could the good news be?
Nick, what do you think about ETH's technicals and the likelihood that it'll hold 1,200? Then I'm going to throw it a Node.
Please welcome the king of technical analysis, the one and only king himself, Nifty Nick.
Hey, how's it going? So I was going to say that, it's had a great little pump here. Captain Kick sent me a DM, this weekend that was like, what are you thinking about ETH price action? And I was like, I just can't read it. It's definitely trying to pump right now, but I'm still at the moment overall bearish. Like I said, it could go up above,
nearly 2,000, and then I would maybe give it a short-term pump here, up to as high as even like 2,500. But I don't know. It's in no man's land right now, so I'm not even fucking with it. I'm just on the side. It doesn't give me a pattern that I'm able to trade here, so I'm just standing by, waiting for more price action before I make a decision. So yeah.
But you anticipated a drop below 1,200 in the medium term, correct?
My target. Well, I don't know. Below. No, I don't usually set like long-term price targets, but I've been bearish, and so I'm still bearish. A short-term pump is happening, but I'm still technically overall bearish on the macro, and I'll need to see different price action for that to change.
Okie dokie. Well, that means because I'm actually finally, knock on wood, going to get my Ethereum out of the Ronin Bridge. I don't know how much we talked about this on the show, but everybody that had money in the Axie Infinity ecosystem, the Ronin ecosystem, we got our money stolen literally by North Korea. They stole $600 million from the Ronin Bridge. So everybody that had money on that bridge just got wrecked. I have like 2 Ethereum on there, but I guess a friend of mine found a loophole and he's going to be able to get the money out. The ETH is going to go through the Philippines before it makes its way back to me. So I got ETH coming from all over the world. Going to be interesting, but I'll probably sell that ETH given the sentiment from Nick and Spencer and just hold that cash for the medium term. Node, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Well, first, I hope you're not clicking on some kind of scam link. You know, this is don't want you to lose your money, PS. So good luck.
Axie Infinity clicked on a scam link apparently, and they lost $600 million.
Yeah, did you get an email saying you've been reimbursed?
Yeah, do you need to click an email and go to a Google Drive and input information?
Dude, it's just can you imagine, man? You're running a business, you lose $600 million because Kim Jong Un.
No, but legit, where did you get this information from?
Well, the information on how I'm getting the money out?
Yeah.
My friend has had a business built on Axie. I don't know what having a business built on Axie looks like in June 2022 right now, but he has/had a business built on Axie. So he's got staff members all over the world. And apparently you are able to withdraw your wrapped Ethereum from the Ronin blockchain specifically to Binance and Binance alone. And Binance is not able to be used in the United States. And so we're going to be sending, I sent my Ethereum from my Ronin account to that friend's Ronin account. And then he's going to send it to one of his staff members in the Philippines. And that staff member in the Philippines is going to send it back to me because he has access to Binance. So that's the current state of affairs.
Say goodbye to that chaos.
No, go ahead and continue.
I hope you trust your friend. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, I was the best man at his wedding. So his Filipino staff member, screws me. But in general, I mean, we have some folks in the Philippines. They're like the best people literally in the world. So I'm not worried about it.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. So back to my thoughts on the market. I basically agree with what's been said. The one thing I would say is the rate hikes just barely went into effect, right? So we're just going to start seeing those effects actually happening, and then so I'm not overall bullish on the broader market, but with NFTs, the one thing that is kind of comforting, right? If you stay involved, I personally believe that NFTs will never die. Like, there's just too many exciting things happening. So there's always an opportunity. The problem now is that a lot of the opportunities are very short-lived, but even still, like, we have the goblins that have risen out of the ashes and are still holding a decent floor. And that came in the depths of a bear, right? So I think there's always going to be opportunities. So don't give up, like, stay involved. But the fact that the blue chips are not like doing great, there's not a ton of volume, it does concern me a little bit. So I would just say stay involved, but be very careful and selective.
Absolutely. And you know, you can do what Easy Eats does and just buy an assload of the DGen stuff and then go to gem.xyz immediately, who should sponsor us but don't, and then list all of them right there for, like, you know, one price and just walk away, and then they all sell and you make money. So we got a few people with their hand raised here. I guess let's throw to Easy. Easy, what's going on?
I just wanted to actually talk from, like, a macro scale. I understand, like, the markets are shit, and from a interest rate perspective, that's most likely going to go higher. But there was actually an interesting kind of, like, adoption point that happened. The senator from Wyoming is putting forth a bill to integrate.
Cynthia Lummis.
Yeah. So I'm really interested in that because I do think it's a domino effect. As more states and more kind of government bodies start to dive into some of, like, stable coins and integrating, even integrating, like, a USDC into their financial market for the state, I think that has a much larger cause and effect than people realize. And it is coming up on an election year, so I do think we're going to start to see more news and event-driven micro kind of pumps that could lead to, like, relief rallies and even kind of just ranging. I keep hearing all these, like, really low numbers on both SOL and ETH for targets. And just from years of trading at this point, it's like when you have everyone targeting so low, the market tends to front run that anyway. So, like, I'm just cautiously watching a lot of that. I do agree with Node here. I don't think NFTs are going anywhere. So I do think that even right now in this market, it's very, like, pro trader and pro quick flips, which that's not sustainable long term, but it does help money flow. So I am curious on kind of a couple things here that could see, I don't want to call it a bottom, but could see a cause for, like, a relief rally.
Okay, and let me just add to that real quick. I'm going to put my Bitcoin hat on, and I'm going to say a bunch of stuff that's realistically going to come true. But as I say it, everyone in the audience is going to say, yeah, right, dude. But anyway, the bottom line is Cynthia Lummis has been a huge Bitcoiner for over a year. She actually gets it, and you're going to see more and more politicians flip as they realize that Bitcoin is actually the people's money. And if you want to win over the people as a Bitcoin education is spread, it's going to be the major sticking point in elections. Not this coming election. We're still way too early. The presidents are, like, 90 years old. Forget about it. But in coming elections after that, people are just going to be running on Bitcoin. And so, yes, I did see that she was putting that bill forward. What a surprise. It calls for stablecoin regulation, because that will be the first area of crypto that will be regulated, because it's flat out easy to regulate. It should be regulated. Look at what happened with what's his name? Duquan or whatever. Hello, let's figure this out. And you are going to see more and more Bitcoin related activity penetrating the government and penetrating politics and penetrating your life. El Salvador is literally using volcanoes.
Bitcoin is literally going to fuck you. That's what Pio is saying right now. I just want to be clear. That wasn't, I just wanted to articulate what was on everyone's mind. Sorry, back to you, Pio.
El Salvador is harnessing energy from the earth.
They're you love that one.
Energy from volcanoes. And
these are two distinctly different things. They have geothermal energy, and then they also mine Bitcoin. Yeah, and then he turns
flow,
those together.
Ever since Stock and Flow blew up, it's gotten worse. Now it's volcanoes.
Stock to Flow did not blow up. Just one version of it did. Wait till
my
you see
goodness.
The future of Stock to Flow.
You still believe in Stock to Flow?
Of course,
okay, we
I
got
do.
A flat earther here, boys.
No,
we got
it's
a flat
not
earther.
A flat. You guys are all gonna pay when Bitcoin just has its inevitable, like, you know, destiny manifested. And everyone's like, yeah, right, dude. And then you follow up in 4 years and nobody comes back and goes, hey, Pio, you were actually right.
Welcome, the king of Bitcoin. Entering the room. Pio Vincenzo.
If you want to see a really, really good, if you want to see a really good interview, check out the interview on a private jet between the second richest man in Mexico and Max Kaiser, because we call him Uncle Ricky, Ricardo Salinas, because people in Mexico definitely understand the importance of hard currency. People in Nigeria, people in South and Central America absolutely understand the importance of hard money and bulletproof money. Whereas in the United States, we just love money printer go burr. We're all getting rich. We don't understand why hard money is important. Go down El Salvador and ask somebody down there if hard money is important.
Jesse, go ahead. The normal way to do your finances is to call up your friend and have your computer money routed through the Philippines and then to you through a secret account. That's the normal way. But you know, I actually agree with Pio. I'll take the opposite side of most people here, not as a financier, but just as someone who's common sense and who's not a crypto conspiracy theorist, because that's what most people seem to tend. I'll bet that I'll go long on the US dollar on all of you forever. But I do think I'm surprised. I think that it's all the bad news is priced in. I think it's not. I think the inflate we've everybody's been people are almost trying to will inflation and a recession to happen, and it just might not happen. And I think it's more likely. I don't think 600. I think 600 ETH is. I think there's a 0% chance. I think it's more likely that at the end of the year ETH is at 3,000 than it is at 1,000 or even 4,000. I think ETH is money. It's used at Christie's. It's becoming more normal. ETH and Bitcoin. I'm talking about NFTs is a different story. But I would take the opposite side of the, I wouldn't say I'm a bull, but I'd take the opposite side of the bear case just based on sort of the conspiracy. It just people in the crypto community always tend to think the world is going to collapse, the whole financial system is going to collapse, and it, you know, it's pretty Lindy, and it usually doesn't.
Yeah, well, great take, Jesse. I just want to shout out real quick. We got G. Krishnan in the crowd. G. Krishnan is a legend from the Nifty Portal community, been in the community since the fall. We've been wanting to get G. Krishnan to come on stage.
He's so busy, though.
He's so busy, but every once in a while, he'll pop up in the Discord and just, you know, totally unrelated to what everybody's talking about. He's like, hey, everybody, I just did 100 burpees. Feel great afterwards. Now I'm drinking water and making a green shake. Hope you guys have a great day. And everyone's like, yo, G. Krishnan, that was fire. So I'm trying to bring him on stage. I know he's been talking up some ladies, so we want to dig into G. Krishnan's personal life on stage right now. I called him out in the Discord.
Wait, what? Let's do this on the next page. Okay, well then do that at the end real quick. If you want to pin to the top, retweet the Lago Frame tweet that gives you actually hold on. Please welcome the king of frames of all frames. We have Scott on stage who is will talk about frames.
Thank you. I love the king of all frames, of frames, of frames, of frames. But actually, this is a little different. You know, we've given actual frames away prior to and a few other giveaways with you guys.
But where are our frames, by the way, Scott?
Yeah, so this one's a little different. This, you're getting actually a Lago Pass, which the Lago Pass is an NFT that we're going to be releasing the mint in a few days here. But the pass itself, every holder of the pass can use that to claim a frame. On top of that, every month, there's a dynamic rarity trait built into the NFT, which gives you access to different perks. Now, these perks are different airdrops from artists that we've commissioned. And we just announced in that article the first three artists that we're going to be dropping. One is G-Monk, one is BT, and the other is Ben Muro from the Huxley Project. So we have a large assortment of art that we've commissioned. And on top of that, we do events locally and globally, and based on the rarity trade, it'll give you the ability to either come with us or come locally. We'll cover all those charges. And then every Lago Pass holder will automatically get 50% off on our V2 product line when that comes out towards the end of the year or the beginning of 2023. So this is a lot of value built into it, because not only do you get the actual frame itself, but you get all these different perks and benefits. So we're really excited to sort of bridge that gap between, you know, Web 2, Web 3, and help to bring the metaverse home and enable all you crazy collectors out there to, you know, actually flex your muscles at home and show off your collection to everyone else that comes through and hangs out.
Love it. It's pinned to the top. If you want to retweet it, you can get access to all of that. Thank you to the king of frames, Scott, for entering for the moment to deliver the frames to the people and the peasants out there.
Nick, can I get like a goblin that's mischievous and just did?
Yo, oh, no, this is not the way. That's not the way it works, Pio. I'm just sorry. I'm just putting it out. Like
Nick
like,
hates it when I put him on the spot. For
Pio's like, let me just start directing Nick real quick because I feel that that's appropriate right now. No, we're not having any of that. Okay, we're done.
We got Illiquid Hobo who's what? Into shiny things.
We'll do that, but real quick though, we'll do the giveaway in a minute. Make sure you retweet it if you want access to it.
Retweet it. Scott has to pick the winner because it's his tweet. So Scott should pick the winner. I can do a little drum roll. But give away an NFT that hopefully is eventually an actual frame, huh?
What do you mean?
Dead air. Do we want to pull the winner now, Nick?
No, we can give it a minute or two.
Okay, we'll give it a minute. So we got Illiquid Hobo, who likes shiny things, also likes cool cats, cool pets, and other side. Illiquid Hobo, what is on your mind?
Entering the peasant among peasants. The hobo among hobos.
Dude, I'm still dying at the...
Illiquid Hobo.
At the... what was that? What did he call you?
You've been doing too many drugs, hobo. You fried.
Oh my god, I'm sitting here listening to Lago stuff. I'm just like zoning out. Anyways, yeah. So I'm really confused. Like circling back to the NFT space thing. Everybody that was here last summer, I'm just confused why nobody's thinking that Degen plays would pop off. Like a you know 10K on a Bored Ape last summer wasn't a Degen play.
Right. Yeah. Different market. Right. Totally different market. So wait, you're saying that you're surprised that people aren't thinking that D-Gen plays will pop off. Are you then comparing Bored Ape Yacht Club to a D-Gen play? Or are you stating that it was not a D-Gen play?
No, it sounds like he's saying that Bored Ape Yacht Club was a D-Gen play at that moment in time. And look at where it is today. Well, it kind of was.
Yeah, it totally was. I mean, like they were just PFPs at the time, right? And like Nicole Benham, she's an advisor in the space. She's a heavy hitter. You know, she tweeted today just saying, or this morning saying, I'm surprised by the state of the market and all this stuff and all the degen stuff. And everybody's saying that. Everybody that's somebody right now is saying that. And I'm just a little shocked that that's the sort of like the attitude. Like I've never played into the whole degen place. Didn't buy Doge. Didn't buy like Shib or any of that shit. You know what I mean? But like, this is the first time, and I apologize to any hobos that are like in the audience, and I'm not talking like a hobo. I just don't want to do the thing. But like, I it's the first time ever I've been like, okay, this is the meta. Let's take a look at it. Let's play in it. Let's, you know, let's feel it out. And it feels right. Like this is what it felt like last summer with a lot of these projects that actually took the money and built something with it. Right. Like.
You cut out there at the end.
A lot of projects didn't, but.
You
keep
cut
cutting
out.
Out.
Yeah, you cut it, out.
He must have. He must have. Poor.
I don't know. It's just interesting to see it. I guess. Sorry. It's just interesting to see it.
You cutting out hard, Illiquid Hobo. We got to get.
Fully
rugged. Get the hobos some better.
That was now exiting the room.
The hobo among hobos.
Illiquid Hobo. Thank you for joining.
Anyway, Illiquid Hobo, I understand what you're saying, but I would only bet that Goblin Town does anything. I guess maybe this "we are all going to die" is legit. I don't know. But the Goblin Town squad seems to be one that's actually legit. So we'll see what happens. Nick, why don't we do our drum roll and have Scott select a winner? What do you think of that?
Okay.
All right.
That's a manual drum roll from
that's
me.
Nick. Oh, there we go. That sounds more professional.
Scott.
I'm doing it right now. We got Nifty Millennial.
Nifty
Millennial.
Come to the stage. Send Scott a DM. Do something before we pick another winner here. Nifty Millennial. Okay, I'm searching. Is it NIFTY or NFT?
NIFTY Millennial.
Not seeing the person in the crowd.
But that doesn't mean they're not here. Shoot the Lago account a DM.
And the way
that we typically do it is we call a few of them, and the first one to send a DM, they get it.
All right. Shall I try again?
Yeah, if you just refresh the page, let's pick like a few of them, and whoever sends the DM first, you win.
Okay, here we go. Symbiotech. SYMBIOTECH.
Symbiotech.
Oh, wait. Elder Millennial just DM'd.
All right. Congratulations to the millennial person. They won. Very, very nice. Scott, any information you'd like to share with them?
Congratulations. Send us your wallet address, and you, sir, will be getting an airdrop with your Lago Pass. And once you have your Lago Pass, you will be able to follow the instructions to claim your frame.
All right. Look at that. Very nice. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was a giveaway on the show, courtesy of Lago Frames.
Are you playing music, Pierre?
I was playing the Wheel of Fortune theme song.
But it was quite small. There you go. Thanks for joining. Thanks playing that game.
Very nice. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to end the show here, right? The show is over. It's 10:30. The show is going to be over, right? But then we're going to do a quick 10 minutes after I play this song with none other than Ganesh Krishnan, valued community member from the Nifty. So
wow, we're doing it now?
Just 10 minutes. It's going to be a warm-up because we got him on stage. We got to respect the man's time. You can kill that music, though, next. So.
Sorry?
I said you can kill that music.
Okay, sorry. Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this was the NFT Morning Show. The show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time every damn week. We talk all things NFT market, NFT trade talk, everything in between. If you look at the tweet that's pinned to the top, that's a link to buy our NFT. Look, you probably want to buy it. Let's get real. You're sitting here enjoying the show. You're telling your friends about it. If you think it ain't going to get bigger, then you're just tripping. So buy the NFT. Come on now. Wake up. Anyway, we'll catch you next time.
The pitch is not that it's getting bigger. It's a beautiful piece of art. So says our lawyers.
Yeah, listen to the lawyers, ladies and gentlemen. Join our community. Join the club. What I will say is it is a unique experience to listen to the show and actually be in the community and understand how 4,600 NFT market participants operate in a crowdsourced fashion and to see how much shade gets thrown at me and Nick and the other speakers on stage. There's more shade than praise, let me tell you. So, ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoy the show. We're going to take 45 seconds, listen to this song. We're going to pretend that the show's actually over. And then we're going to talk to my man G. Krishnan real quick for 5 to 10 minutes. This is utility for portal holders. Portal holders want this. Thank you for watching, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not interested in the end of the show, I totally understand. Get the hell out of here.